And welcome back to the Greg Herenda Show, where, yes, indeed, Kenny, we have the Wonder Woman. It's not Linda Carter. It is Charlene Millwood Lee. She is the head coach of men's and women's cross-country, indoor and outdoor track, and may I add, a champion. Charlene, welcome.
Thank you so much.
To the Greg Herenda Show.
Thank you so much for having me here. It's an honor.
Oh, well, you deserve it. We've talked about it.
We have.
Over a period, but the timing is in life is essential. And you guys doing what you did over in Staten Island, that ocean breeze was amazing. I just saw the highlights. But forget about what exactly happened. I want to know how you felt inside when you saw your women take the championship and your men just blow it out and come in third when they were picked a lot lower, and just the culmination of success and the hard work of your staff. How'd you feel?
It was an awesome feeling, first of all.
Yes.
You know, I was there. Brad Holbert, our AD, was there. Jen, yep. My supervisor, Jennifer Quirk.
Yep.
And they were like, smile, smile. And, you know, sometimes yes. You want to sit back and just take it in.
Right.
And I wanted to do that. It's been a long time coming. The kids worked yes. hard. You know, a lot of pressure was put on them. I'm tough on them.
I know that.
And, yeah, you see me in practice.
I see it.
And they responded. They responded across the board. The women, almost perfect execution in what we had. A couple of hiccups
yes.
here or there. And I'm just so proud of them. It was an exciting feeling to finally achieve what we've been going for a long time. It's been 21 years.
21 years.
Yes, that's our last championship, 1999.
And when it hit you, was it like kind of surreal, like an out of body? Like, did it really happen? Did you have that feeling or no?
It didn't happen, no. And unfortunately, I thought it would.
Right.
But we're still waiting for our men to get there.
Yes.
And I think
okay.
that'll happen. You know, it's
oh, yeah.
it's bittersweet. The men watched the women take the championship. You're
right.
coaching two teams. And the guys, you know, they were a little down and they work hard.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes harder than our ladies. And
yeah.
our ladies, you know, I'm not cutting them any slack.
Right.
But they work hard and, you know, they were happy with third place.
Sure.
But, you know, at the end of the day, we were a little short. But I think I did shed a couple of tears when I got home
Good.
To my daughter. She gave me a card that
sweet.
Said, you know,
that's
you're
sweet.
The caringest,
yes.
Kindest, lovingest,
best
coach ever as in her eighth grade language.
Awesome.
So, you know, I did
awesome.
Sit back and Sunday
yeah.
morning I woke up and I was like, yeah, we did this.
Yeah.
We did this.
And that's a good feeling.
It was an exciting feeling.
Tell me about, like, track.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when was the first time that you remember just running? And was it a joyful experience? Or was it like, hey, I'm good at this and you won a few races in the third grade and in eighth grade? When did it hit you that to say, oh, you know what? I got this. I want to do this. And it could be my life.
Well, growing up, I was really shy. Hard to believe right now.
Yes.
Had to break out of that shell a little bit. I was really shy.
Right.
And I remember exactly everything that went down leading up to what started track in high school.
Okay, good.
And it was in eighth grade. You know,
okay.
in middle school, they had a little two-mile loop that we used to run. And I'm very competitive. I've always
oh, yeah.
been competitive
sure.
growing up. Whether, and I was a bit of a tomboy, you know, I'm the tomboy that dressed up in the, you know, dress and bedazzled myself and
right.
then went and climbed a tree.
Yes.
You know.
Cool.
And
very cool.
We would run and there was a loop and I'd always beat the guys except for one guy. And the girls and guys went out together, co-ed class, gym class. And finally I said, you know, my coach or the gym teacher at the time would
right.
say, you know, you're good, you're good. And I would go out again, Janice E. Dismiss High School, shout out in Inglewood, New Jersey. And I'd go out and just race. And it came to a point where the guys were sabotaging me on the trail. They were putting up little
they were
wires.
Afraid of you. Yeah.
Well, if they beat me, they would get a zero taken off of their gym grade. So they fishing wire across the trail to clothesline me or something
yes.
like that, and I'd run.
That is classic.
And try not to get, you know, in the booby traps. And right. then when I went to high school, a substitute teacher, I called him Chuckles. I really shouldn't have. But I didn't know. I don't remember his real name. Off Chucky we'll is his real
Chuckles.
Name. Yeah.
I like Chuckles.
Dwight Morrow High School.
Yep.
And he hated when I called him that. I'm so right. sorry. And he dragged me to the cross country coach's office and said, "You got to get
you
this one."
Yep.
And that was Reggie Williams, my high school coach.
Very cool.
Yes.
Now, I'm a little confused.
Mm-hmm.
I did some homework,
mm-hmm.
and are you not from Sanford, Florida?
I lived in Sanford, Florida for my senior year of high school. My parents moved to Florida. So I competed. I'm homegrown.
Okay.
I was
yeah,
in England
yeah, yeah, yeah.
at Dwight Morrow High School till about my junior year, the summer.
Oh, so you went the other way. So you were you're
yes.
a Jersey girl and then went to Florida for
and
1 year.
1 year and ran right back to Jersey.
And your father for a job for your father or your mother or what was
no,
the reason?
No, my father needed the warmer weather. He wasn't doing well.
I see. Okay. Okay.
And we moved to Florida. It was either there. My parents are immigrants. They're from Jamaica.
Okay.
And it was either there or Jamaica. We said Florida's fine.
There you go. Well, okay.
And, yeah.
So you live and learn.
Yeah, and we
and
moved
then
to Florida.
Did you know automatically, if we fast forwarded, that you were going to come to FDU, or many other people must have been recruiting you at that point?
A lot of recruiters lost touch.
Because you left.
They were confused,
yes.
and all my mail went to Dwight Morrow.
Right.
And it's funny, when I decided to come to FDU, it was between Rutgers and FDU. I knew I wanted to come back to New Jersey. I
right.
did not enjoy Florida life. And I remember
yep.
when I came that summer, my coach gave me a package of different schools that were,
right.
you know.
Interested.
But everything happens for a reason.
Amen.
I don't regret a day at FDU.
You don't?
I don't.
Yes.
You know, you go through some rough times, you go through different things, but you learn from your experiences. And
right.
I wouldn't be in the position I'm in today
no way.
If it wasn't for my time spent
True.
There.
Where did you live exactly in New Jersey? What town?
I lived in Inglewood, right across the street from what used to be Cleveland School. I think it's Dr. McLeod School, Dory Avenue on the border
okay.
of Tenafly
oh, so
and
you're
Inglewood.
You are a home girl.
Yeah.
Because that's what confused me when I saw the Florida thing. Because it's funny, doing the show, and I've had a number of coaches on, and you find out things that, you know, you work next to each other and you have no idea until you, like,
yeah.
stop and smell the roses, so to speak.
Yeah, I grew up in Inglewood.
Tell me about, you loved your time here and you love your time here. Tell me about how you coach and your relationship with your players and how that affects you. Being like, I didn't go to FDU, so I'm learning it on the fly, so I'm learning to coexist and how to bring my players in. But this is like bringing kids to your home, basically, correct?
Or? Yes. And one thing I can say is when we're recruiting, you know, we're honest. We're brutally honest.
Right.
We do have some deficiencies, but
yeah.
so do other schools.
No.
And all that glitter is not gold.
That's right.
But what I can offer them is a family vibe.
Right.
A coach who's going to be honest and take care of you like they're your own.
Kenny, I can attest to this because when we practice, especially during the holidays, there's always an odor of just delicious food that exudes from the track and field offices. And these kids eat better than most student athletes because there's home cooking going on. Explain how that started and how you do that. And then you do it for our staff during Christmas and
yeah.
everyone appreciates it. But it's just like you're a mom to these men and women.
Yeah, I, you know, I
you
try.
You look like a sister to them, though.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I was 12 when I started.
There you go.
The thing about it is it started where I started cooking for the team and prepping meals and everything out of more necessity.
Right.
Because
yes.
budgetary
I
reasons,
understand.
You know, we have a larger team and, you know, we have to feed them and I wanted them to have a proper meal.
Right.
I think it's important what you put in your body, you'll get out of your body.
Amen.
And the pressure and the stresses that they go through in practice and everything, I saw that they weren't able to respond to what I needed them to in regards to workouts and different things, weight room, because they weren't putting in enough
right.
good things.
Right.
So we came up with a plan that I'm going to start to cook a little bit here or there. And it kind of turned into one day turned into 3 days, you know, during the winter break, and turned into a weeks. And it's tough sometimes, but I do enjoy doing it for the team on occasion.
And then the kids just know, man, if you're cooking for them, you love them. Like, I don't, everyone that cooks, your grandmother cooks, your mother cooks, your aunt cooks, your father cooks eggs. There's just a connection between, I have two cats, and when I feed them, I just feel like they know I love them, and it's just a great partnership. And now let me ask you a question. I don't want to get in trouble. I don't want Brad getting mad at me because he listens to the show religiously, but outdoor track is part of your... Now, we don't have an outdoor track per se, do we?
No, we don't.
Now, are we going to get one of those, how do you practice with an outdoor track if you're the outdoor track coach?
Well, we're very creative. Sometimes coaching requires you to think outside the box.
Right.
So this year, we have a couple of things not ready to talk about quite yet planned.
Okay.
That we're going to talk to a couple places, and we're working on some things to try and get access to a track. Because it's important. The kids, their stresses on our indoor track from running there continuously.
Right.
So we need to get them outside now. And we're going to be working on that in the next 3 weeks. We hope to have a place that we can call track practice home.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
But will we ever have a track like that would go around the soccer field or just our own?
There used to be a track around the
soccer
field.
What happened?
It was the soccer field was there, put there. So it is, you know, it was a decision, a business decision that was made.
Okay. Sure.
And we're just hoping that, you know, somehow we can find a way to get something somewhere.
Right.
And,
you know,
even a couple of lanes. That would be awesome. But the next time you have Brad on, you can ask him.
I will ask him that question. This is the time for you to brag.
Oh, wow.
And I want you to brag about some of your student athletes. Let's start with the women first, because that's the gentlemanly thing to do, and they're the champions, and the men will eventually get there. But tell me about, it could be the best one, the one that works the hardest, or just give me some names so that our people that are listening could hear and put greatness with a name on our track program.
Wow. I'd start off with the person who scored the most points.
Well, there you go.
And that would be Madeline Price.
Right.
She's out of Maine. She's worked hard to get to where she is,
right.
And it's taken a lot of work on the coach's part, as long as building confidence.
Right.
She came here a timid young lady, and she's leaving here a beast.
Right.
I'm so proud of who she has become and who she is.
Yeah.
I'll give you an example. She was in the triple jump. You have three tries to get your best jump before they pick the top jumps and move you on to the next round, which is the finals. She got two fouls.
Wow.
And
pressure.
No mark and
pressure.
One more chance. And the old Maddie would have just panicked. Coach went over there and said, Maddie, like, come on, you got it.
Which coach was this?
Coach Solomon is our jumps coach, and Coach Pete helps out.
Oh, yeah.
And Coach Pete went to her and said, Maddie, you got to get it together.
Yeah,
come on.
Is.
And she's like, I got this.
Wow.
I got this.
That's
and
cool.
She walked away, and his jaw dropped. My jaw dropped.
Yes.
Because that's not who we brought here to FDU. And that's how FDU and our staff has been able to shape and change our athletes and give them the confidence that they need on a whole in this department.
That's huge.
And, you know, she ended up winning the triple jump. She ended up winning the long jump. She won the 60, which with an upset. She wasn't supposed to win the 60.
Right.
Her time...
Now, the 60 is the what? Is what?
It's the straightaway in the middle of the track. It's from...
It's a 60-yard sprint?
Yes.
Wow.
Well, not 60-yard, though. 60-meter.
60 meters.
Yeah. Similar, but...
But still, I'm really kind of naive when it comes to it, so I don't know. But so she can... She's an athlete.
Yes.
She's an athlete. What did she do the 60? Now, let me take a guess.
Okay.
This is a basketball coach that knows nothing about track. I'm going to say she did the 60 in 7.2.
No. That's fast.
8.2.
No. It was 7.64.
Okay.
So, yeah, she...
That's flying,
though. Yeah, she won the 60. She qualified for ECACs. And, you know, the conference got it right. They had a headline for her, and it was The Price is Right. And I thought that was amazing.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
That's great. Give me a male now. Let's go male, female.
Wow.
Give me a dude that... has just. I know we had the shot. Now was the shot put guy. Was that last? That was last year.
Right. We have Benjamin Clay, bright young man. He didn't do as well in the shot as he should have this year.
Okay.
He had some technical difficulties, but he'll be right back next week in our IC4A championships.
Okay.
But if I had to pick a guy off the top of my head, and I'm thinking Sanley LEC. He had an amazing run. He ran the 500 meter.
Wow. And, that's tough.
Yeah. So that's, once you ran around our track twice, you still have another half a track to go. And he did that in 1:02.
See, now that takes speed,
strength,
endurance, mm-hmm. strength, grit. Mm-hmm. Like that's, and that's what you are, right? Weren't you like a 400 girl?
I was a 400, 500, 800, whatever coach told me to do, that's what I did.
The greatest, one of the greatest quotes I've ever heard about any student athlete came from David Langford.
Mm-hmm.
And I quote, "Charlene had only one gear, and that was to win." And I read it, and I'm like, and I haven't, you know, seen David in a while, and I love David. He gave me my first Division I job. That's just a great compliment.
That is.
You ran, it sounds like to me, you ran as fast as you had to win.
Whatever they told me to do, I did.
Yeah.
And if I needed to win, I'd win. If I needed to slow down and pick up to do something,
right.
That my body's feeling it now.
Yes.
But I trained with the men on the team, and
when
I couldn't train with them anymore, I trained by myself. I worked hard as an athlete, and looking back on my accomplishments, I wasn't impressed with myself. Now that I'm getting older and it's getting harder,
right.
I'm like, wow, I wasn't that bad.
In 1993, mm-hmm. Kenny, she was on the gold medal relay team in the Olympic Festival, 4x400.
Yeah.
Where was that? I love that festival. When I hear of the Olympic Festival, I just think of, like, that is really the elite of the elite in our country. Where was the Olympic Festival?
That was in San Antonio, Texas. I never forget how hot it was because it was televised.
Yeah.
And they couldn't keep the TV wires cool enough. They blew out.
Wow.
And it was supposed to be televised, but it wasn't. It was 115 degrees on the track.
Wow.
And I remember that
Now, who did you run with? Do you remember the girl? Let me say, do you remember anybody?
Denise Mitchell.
Where was she from? Like LSU?
Jersey. She's a Jersey kid.
Okay.
But, Dennis Mitchell's sister.
Now, Dennis Mitchell is, I should know Dennis.
He was a sprinter, Olympic sprinter.
Wow.
Medalist.
So
And I cannot for the life of me remember.
Were they all Jersey girls or were they from all over the country?
All
right?
over the country,
yes.
East Coast. So you had it split into regions. So we represented the East. And we actually broke the Olympic Festival record that year.
Yes.
So it was a lot of fun. I learned so much from
that
experience. And that experience was once again through my coach, Mike Shea. He got us into meets and got us different places and to go and to be exposed to different competition.
How close were you to being an Olympic athlete? I don't want to break your heart or anybody's heart out there, but like that, the difference, like our players, we've had in 7 years, I've had 10 players sign professional contracts. Mm-hmm. The difference in Darnell Edge went to the Utah Jazz summer camp, but the difference between, the elite and then the elite of the elite, like, was it a really fine line, or how close were you to being in that?
I don't think it was a really fine line. I don't think I was as close as I would have liked to be. I don't know.
Okay.
I got married, at 24. I didn't get the opportunity.
So you're blaming it on your husband is what you're doing.
Exactly. Of course.
I love it.
And I stopped running. And I don't know. At the point when I graduated, my personal best was 52 seconds in the 400.
52 seconds?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that's four laps?
Two laps.
Two laps.
Two laps in 52 seconds.
Yeah.
So or one lap on an outdoor track. That was my outdoor best. And
that's fine.
I felt as though I should have kept going, but I didn't. It's tough out there in track and field for elite and semi-elite athletes because they have to find a way to maintain a living while
right.
getting paid nothing
no,
to
no,
go
true.
Out and pay their wages.
There's only a
things.
Few bolts, right?
Right. right.
And everybody else is just...
There's no bolts.
There's
only
one
bolt.
There's one bolt.
There's one bolt.
God, is yeah. he unbelievable,
yes,
right?
Yes, he is. Yeah.
And but, he's Jamaican, is he?
Yes, he is.
Right. Have yeah. you ever met Bolt?
No, I haven't.
Have you ever seen him live?
Yes, I have. Penn Relays.
That must be nuts.
It was a crazy day. You couldn't hear anything going on in that office.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was, I mean, he's an amazing athlete.
For our listeners, we're talking to Charlene Millwood Lee. Not only in the Hall of Fame here at Fairleigh Dickinson, you're in the NEC Hall of Fame. So you're not only the cream of the crop here. You're the cream in our conference. Tell me about the competitors quickly. We don't want to give anybody else too much. But, like, who are, like, I'm not sure. I know in basketball, like, us and Wagner, we beat them for a championship. St. Francis, PA. So we go at it with Robert Morris. Who's your, like, do right. you guys have anybody that's like, okay, man, let's go. We got to run today. We've got who on the docket?
Well, LIU's always ready.
LIU.
Always,
yeah.
always ready. Yep. Coach there, Coach Simon, he does a wonderful job with his athletes. Also, Mount, I call them that sneaky team. It doesn't matter that performance list.
Mount St. Mary's.
Looks, oh, yes.
Yeah.
He somehow pulled it together.
They probably get DC girls down there, right? I bet you they fly.
A couple of Baltimore girls. Yeah. So he is actually, they're doing a good job.
Tell me about a little birdie told me, we have two rings here in my 7 years. How involved are you in the ring? Or do you get, like, I let my players design the ring. I'm hearing that you have a little bit more to say in the rings that you are designing. Is that true or false?
That is...
I got you. I got you.
No, it's... Okay.
Tell everybody what happens
ladies.
Now.
Yeah.
Give us the ring process, and then we got to wrap it up because the time is actually yeah. flying.
Okay. We have two young ladies. I picked a captain, Jasmine Lewis, and
sure.
the rest of the team doesn't know this, so I hope they're not listening.
Okay. We won't
and,
let them listen. It's Sunday morning at 7:30, so they're in bed.
And Madeline Price. And what ends up happening is I gave my input, told them nothing too gaudy, nothing too,
sure.
you know.
Right.
Elegant, simple,
yes.
just like my team. And, you know, they picked out, they want the knight head, they want this, they want
right.
that. We're waiting to see, you know, how it prices out and see what happens.
But that's something that they deserve.
Yes.
You deserve. You're a Jersey girl.
Yes, I
Bergen
am.
Bergen community, Montclair State,
mm-hmm.
Dwight Morrow,
yep.
and most of all, Fairleigh Dickinson University.
Woo-hoo.
Charlene, I cannot thank you enough for finally coming on the Greg Herenda Show.
And thank you for having me.
Very
it's my
well
pleasure.
Deserved.
Take
and
care.
As we go, Kenny, we take her out because she's literally family. She makes her team part of her family, and we practice together. We're all
yes.
family, man. Our FDU department
yep.
Is together. We'll be back with more of the Greg Herenda Show after this.
Hello, this is Charlene Millwood Lee, the head men's and women's cross country track and field coach. You're listening to the Greg Herenda Show on WFDU.